Rich Kimble with you. Our next guest is one of the best stand-up comedians in the business, as well as a writer for the best show on TV for our money, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Josh Gondelman joining us. Welcome back to the program, Josh.
Thanks for having me, Rich. Always great to talk to you.
So even over the phone and on the radio, things look different. Did you get your eyebrows trimmed recently?
I did. Yeah, that was, I didn't know I needed it, but I went in for a haircut and the barber said in his thick Russian accent, I do eyebrows. I said, well, I mean, if you think I have to, I guess, yeah, man, you do eyebrows. Now that's the new world I live in.
Yeah, that brings you back to earth really quickly, doesn't it?
Sure does. I also, it's the only part of my face I ever had any pride in, too, the eyebrows. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get my haircut by the same hairdresser that cut my mom's hair. She would just bring me and they would do it, and she would do it. And she once said, like, wow, you have really great eyebrows. And I just took that with me my whole life until last week where it was shattered.
People can do that so quickly. Now, I also understand that you got to see a little Broadway theater action, Bernadette Peters in Hello, Dolly. How was that?
I did. It was tremendous. My wife, Maris, is a giant Bernadette Peters fan. So we saw Hello, Dolly. And I'd never seen the show before. So I said, coming in, I said, what is this about? And she goes, well, you know, Dolly, there's someone named Dolly. She leaves. She comes back. Everybody says hello. And that was pretty much the whole story. But Bernadette Peters was tremendous. She's great. And the whole cast was really great.
I like that synopsis. I mean, now I actually understand the show.
Yes, it was. She writes with great clarity and expresses herself that way. It was like a really lovely production of the show where, yeah, the thing that happened was a woman went back to her old favorite restaurant.
You absolutely knocked it out of the park, killed it when you were on Late Night with Seth Meyers a few weeks back.
Oh, thank you so much. It was really exciting to get to do. I really enjoy their show, and it was very flattering and thrilling when they had me on. It was a lot of fun.
You know, we love Last Week Tonight. We were just watching, again, before the show today, the piece from last night on NRA TV. How many of you did the writers have to sit there and watch some of the programs that are available on NRA TV? That seems like a hostile workplace environment.
Well, fortunately, I dodged that assignment. I was working on kind of a long-term thing for a few weeks from now, so I was not one of the writers assigned to culling through that footage, or one of the producers assigned to culling through that footage. But man, it seemed like a true descent into madness, perhaps.
My goodness. So, well, there's no shortage of information and material for the show, I'm sure, every week. What's the process like? How early in the week do you sort of hone down the laser focus and say, here's what we're going to really be looking at in this episode?
So some of the stuff is the longer stories sometimes take a few weeks to kind of come together and bake. And we used to come in early in the week and kind of pitch international stories for the beginning of the show, or pitch kind of things that we thought might bubble up over the weekend. But then at the end of 2016, politics got different. And I don't want to necessarily assign that to a particular event, but now everything moves so fast that we kind of are guessing up until Friday, Saturday, like, what's going to happen this week? Like, I just saw that Sam Nunberg interview on MSNBC where he's a former Trump associate, who said, you know, maybe he did something with Russia. That would be bad. I don't know. And it's like, well, that's ridiculous, but probably 50 more preposterous things will happen by Sunday night.
Is there a go-to person other than the president himself? Is there a go-to person in the administration where you can be reasonably sure they'll say or do something in the course of a given week that will provide fodder for material?
Well, I guess we had it briefly, someone reliable, during the brief and volatile reign of Anthony Scaramucci. but now it's people, they seem to take turns. There's no one who's specifically responsible other than the president himself. But, you know, sometimes it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Sometimes it's Stephen Miller. Sometimes it's Jeff Sessions. Everybody seems to take their own turn saying something where they're like, oh, the confidence with which you said that inane thing out loud is more confidence than I've ever felt in my entire life, cumulative.
Now, obviously, the aim of the show is to make people laugh, but you're also, you're calling attention to some things that many Americans may not be aware of and the complete absurdity, not just of our government, but things that are happening throughout the United States and really all around the world. Do you feel sometimes that you're making people laugh, but you're also doing a service beyond just the humor?
Oh, you know, I really think, like, I try not to think of it as a service as much as, like, we want to tell interesting, worthwhile stories, and we want to provide, like, an engaging and funny storytelling based on the news. I think that that's, like, the key for me is to try to be, like, interesting and funny. And if there are people that benefit from that, that's lovely. But my goal is to, like, make people laugh with an interesting story that hopefully they haven't heard a million times before.
We're talking with Josh Gondelman here on Downtown. Well, speaking of interesting stories, you've got some right in your own home. Love the piece that you wrote a while back on, the pride and joy of the Gondelman household. That would be the beautiful Busy.
Oh, yes, Busy the pug. She is a real sweet old lady and also sometimes a cranky little goon. She has a lot of sides to her, but she's a great little dog. My wife and I are constantly singing to her and doting on her in a way that, like, if there were closed circuit footage of our apartment, you would watch it and go, well, these people are not of sound mind.
Now, how does she respond to that? Does she just do the doggy version of an eye roll? That's what mine does.
She's a little over it, but she does love attention. I think pugs, they call it clowning, the way pugs will, like, kind of capture a person's attention and then, like, flip onto their back and do kind of like these chubby acrobatics that pugs do to get attention and, like, induce you to rub their belly. We live near an ice cream shop, and there's an ice cream shop and a barber shop close to our apartment, and the barber shop puts out dog treats. And recently they didn't put them out, and Busy walked to the window and pressed her face against the window until one of the barbers came out and gave her a treat. Like, she just kind of, like, made big pug eyes at him. And then she'll walk by the ice cream shop, and people will be sitting outside eating ice cream, and she'll kind of prance in front of them to try to trick them into giving her ice cream.
So she's brilliant, then. There's no question.
Yeah, she's kind of a big-eyed mastermind. Nobody expects it, because she's so small and fluffy and cute, but she's got some schemes.
Last year, in advance of the Super Bowl, you and Emma Sando came up with this wonderful idea for those Patriot fans who perhaps weren't fans of the political point of view of some of the people in charge of the Patriots operation. That turned out to be a good game. It was a huge success last year. We jumped in last year. We were part of it again. Yeah, did you get any kind of final figure of how much money was donated to organizations through the second version of a good game?
We haven't gotten it all tabulated yet, but it was, like, people were really enthusiastic. We know several hundred people participated at least. It was very nice, especially coming from an operation, you know, that was just this campaign started by the two of us, essentially. And then this year we had a really nice website that some friends at Ronick Design came up with on, like, incredibly short notice, and it looked beautiful. So I don't have a final number, but, like, the enthusiasm was really overwhelming. And so few people this year, even fewer than last year, people going, like, oh, why are you doing that? I think people either kind of got on board. And we had some Eagles fans on board, too, which was nice. It's, like, fun when people who aren't, you know, don't have the same rooting interest can kind of jump on and do some nice stuff for a charity.
Well, there's a lot of scoring, so that helps to raise money. But how did you feel about the game itself?
It was empirically, I think, one of the best Super Bowls of all time. It was a heartbreaker to lose, but, I mean, you can't get that mad. They won last year. They won 2 years before that. So it's disappointing. You want them to win, but it was legitimately, when people say, oh, I just want to see a good game, like, you can't ask for a Super Bowl more entertaining than that. And you can't ask for the performance of a quarterback who loses the Super Bowl to be better than Brady through 500 yards. Ridiculous.
As a Patriots fan, obviously you have to be a little concerned about the talk of Rob Gronkowski quitting football, maybe going into the wrestling game, but as a comedian, that's gold, right?
He's very funny on his own. I think Gronk is very like aware of what he does that's funny, and aware of his own the energy that he kind of puts out and the way people perceive him. But it would be a bummer to lose him from the team. He's like one of the best tight ends ever, and it's but it feels sensible, right? Like if he keeps getting these head injuries, these leg injuries, like at some point you've got to go, man, this isn't worth what I'm doing to my body. I've got to live with it the rest of my life.
Now, we understand too, in addition to the stand-up and working on Last Week Tonight, you're also working on a book. What's going on with that?
I am. I was actually working on it right up until we chatted, because today is one of my days off from last week. So it's coming out in fall 2019. So it's a ways off, and it's called Nice Try, Stories of Best Intentions and Mixed Results. And it's funny personal essays about kind of being a sweet, clueless kid and trying to learn how to be like a kind and good grown-up person.
Well, we can't wait for that. Josh, it's always a treat for us to talk with you. We're big fans of everything you do, and we appreciate you making time for us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Always great to chat with you as well. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, you too. Give our best to it to Busy.
I will, for sure.
That's Josh Gondelman, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And catch his stand-up work, his album Physical Whisper, available on iTunes as well.